Today, and our speaker is Paolo Scudero, and the title is Quantization of Levi Algebras and Moduli of Flat Connections.
So, our speaker is interested about quantization of Levi algebras and of certain deformation quantization of certain Poisson manifolds. Since it's about the deformation quantization, I'm going to produce some non-commutative algebras, or sometimes non-commutative co-algebras, from the dual point of view. And there's one principle of how to do it. So how to produce non-commutative algebras. And I'm going to have non-commutative algebras, which are somehow deformations of commutative algebras in the end. And there's one simple thing. So if we take two associative algebras, then we can take their tensor product. It's again an associative algebra. Unfortunately, if these two are commutative, that one is commutative as well. So we didn't progress too far. But if you imagine that these associative algebras are actually associative algebras in some Brady monitor category, or I shouldn't say that they are monoids, but are you using this terminology of algebras, then this thing is still an algebra, so how does it work? We need a map. I will probably stop write those tensor products. It takes too much space. We want to have a morphism going this way. And to do it, we need to exchange A and B so that we can take the products in A and B. So, picture would be something like. Something happens. And the same can be done first for co-algebras when you simply take this diagram and flip it.
So can you give us what was commutative and what?
Yes, so in the picture nothing has to be commutative. But what I said, if A and B happen to be commutative and Brady monitor category should be something like this. So this is equal to any exchange things. And then take the product. If this happens for both A and B, it doesn't have to happen for A tensor B, because something is not. Perhaps if I want to, if you should use some politically correct words, then I should probably say that if this is greater than
A times B is supposed to be an algebra or whatever.
Yeah, okay, this means A tensor B, so I stopped writing those tensors. Mm-hmm. So those politically correct words would be that the tensor product itself as a functor from B times B to B is a strongly monoidal functor, and therefore it, among other things, it sends algebras to algebras and co-algebras, or co-algebras to co-algebras, to this speaking. What's happening? Now, which category am I going to use? So what, for most part, not always, but mostly, this B is going to be a Drinfeld category. So this is this construction is the reason why Drinfeld introduced associators, and after a couple of events also this workshop. And so what is it? We start with, say, with the algebra, with the algebra. We take category now.
So you are defining a Dreamfield category.
Yes,
now
I'm going to. Okay. As it's very probable that everybody knows what it is, but I'm still going to define it. T0 is going to be just a category of representations of G. Modules. Now, if you suppose that we have an element G, which is G invariant, and this stuff defines a first order deformation of the origin property. This is a symmetry monoidal category. Now, this defines a first order deformation of the symmetry to a gradient. So we can define gradient, so if you have two objects, x and y, by taking the original flip, we compose it with 1 plus this and 1 half for reasons, epsilon times t, which adds half of the x and x and the other half x and y, and where epsilon squared is equal to 0. So if you take this kind of epsilon, this is a this defines a gradient, and with the original associated constraint, which is not trivial, this is a gradient model category. And now the problem, which is solved by associators, is to extend this first order deformation into a full deformation, a formal deformation. And how does it work? So the new gradient, what we call it now, the beta is still ordinary flip combos, but this time with exponents of 1/2 h bar t. And the price for this simple form is that we need to introduce also new rebracketing. Original rebracketing that we don't see normally, composed with acting at phi, or the plugging H bar, V, circle, tensor, identity, H bar, identity tensor T, or more saying, one can call this T12. And our phi is this more specific.
Gamma is equal to gamma composed with
gamma
something?
It's gamma 0. Yes. Mm-hmm. After this thing was supposed to be a closed basis. This is a Lie algebra, but it's over some field of characteristic 0, and then this phi should also be associated with the same coefficients. Okay, so this category with it is the same category as before. Maybe I should say that which some a little bit changed morphisms now. Morphisms are formal power series of morphisms of what used to be morphisms in H bar, but some very minor change. Mm-hmm. The tensor product of objects is the same as before. Tensor product of morphisms is the same as before. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changes how we exchange objects, and then how we rebracket.
D0 is a K linear and D is a KH linear, right? So.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, okay, I see. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't say, maybe I should call it somehow. Let's keep it like this one. perhaps with this idea of producing non-commutative things by taking algebras and tensoring them within this category, there is one minor problem that we need to already have this A algebra A and B to be able to compute a tensor product. And it's not simple to find algebras in B, because being an associative algebra is a relatively complicated thing. That what is an associative algebra in B? What does it mean? We should have a, well, it's a representation of our the algebra G together with a not like this, but which satisfies the fact that if you take A, and then go using this gamma, using applying the associated, you go to A, you take the product here, and then so on, go to A. One to this L, and finally this diagram should be commutative. This is what associative means, and that's a non-trivial condition because this is a ugly map. But fortunately, there is a simple way how to get commutative associative algebras. How do we get them? The thing is that it's enough if you suppose that A in B0 is the commutative associative algebra. So we simply start with a commutative algebra on which G acts by derivation. This is what it actually means. But such that this algebra is also commutative with respect to this first order braiding.
D0 means
it's
without H.
Yes, it's without H bar, without any changes in braiding. So this associative, commutative associative algebra in the ordinary sense. And such that.
You also get H, right? So 1 over 2 epsilon HT, right? 1 over 1 plus 1 over 2 epsilon HT, right?
Sigma 1 plus 1 to epsilon
in
the H. Here's H, or? Okay, I call this parameter epsilon if somebody squares to 0.
Okay.
And then maybe I should have counted H as well, but then here this H is a formal parameter that doesn't square to zero, which goes all its powers are non-zero. So let us now suppose that this algebra is commutative even with respect to this braiding, first order braiding. It means that I can draw the diagram, means that if we first apply this T and only take the product, this is zero. We go from A tensor A to A tensor A. And then A is N is action by T, this is infinitesimal braiding. If this is equal to zero, then A with its original product and original unit, and just we don't change anything, is a commutative associative algebra. Commutative associative algebra in D. This is a very simple statement that I can let you verify. Okay, we'll see maybe some reason, but this probably doesn't need too much reasons to see this. And the same applies also for co-commutative, co-associative, co-algebras. You can imagine, you just flip everything. And now it's not so bad. So now the ideology is to, we start with these commutative associative algebras, which is very simple to describe. We start making their tensor product. And finally, we end up with algebras which are far from being commutative. But unfortunately, those algebras are in some Braid monomial category. So they satisfy deep associativity. This is not really what one would like to have in real life applications, because this is some contains associator. Who cares about solutions of this equation? But now, so what we need to do, we have to get from some Braid monomial category to something where we want to be, to just a category of vector spaces with ordinary Braid and ordinary associativity constraints. We want to have algebras there. What can we do? Now this is a say, I can say some general thing. Say if you have B and say C are, they can be just monoidal categories, but I'll say that they are very big monoidal categories. And we suppose that we have a functor going from A to C. And what do we need from this functor to be able to say that it sends the algebras to algebras or co-algebras to co-algebras? There's one nice condition. If this is a Lax one monoidal functor. What is a Lax monoidal functor? I'll recall you. It means that it's a functor with some kind of product. It's compatible with the product in D and the product of C. So we want to have for any objects X, Y, of D, we want to have a morphism going from fx tends to fy, fx tends to y, which is compatible then with if you take fx, y, z, then we can get there in two different ways from fx times fy times fz, and those two ways should be the same. And it's Lax. Corresponds to the fact this doesn't have to be an isomorphism. It's just a morphism. And I'll stop using this word Lax. Just we'll call it this monoidal functor. And if it happens to be isomorphism, I'll call it strong monoidal functor. But there is also possibility of a unit. Narrow, it goes rather this way. It's not an isomorphism. I can also look at these. And these are called Lax, and I'll stop using the co-monoidal functors. And what you can say, if it's a monoidal functor, then it certainly sends algebras to algebras. And it's A and B. If the algebra monoid, then co-algebras and co-monoidal functors. And now I should give you some example of this kind of functor, because it's very simple to get such a functor. That's why I'm using this. It's, in a way, it's just an extension of what's written here. It was very simple to get commutative algebras. It's also very simple to get monoidal or co-monoidal functors, but which are at the same time braided. Braided. Somehow are compatible with braiding. Here, this commutative means that it's compatible with braiding. We're going to see something similar.
Applying braiding here is the same as
commute with applying gradient here. And this statement is something obvious, but if it works for this infinitesimal gradient thing, now we simply apply those formulas. We apply what is the new gradient, what is the new associativity constraint. Things go to the same things, that's why it commutes. And now this is a special case of this simple general statement, where C0 is just vector spaces, there is nothing being deformed here, the infinitesimal gradient is equal to 0, and D0 is our category of representations of G. Maybe one more comment. So we saw here an occurrence of a coisotropic list of algebra. It actually appeared also before without inference. So small example. Suppose now that we want to talk about some commutative algebra in D0, and algebras which are most interesting for our purposes would be functions on some, say, manifold. So let's suppose the concreteness is C infinity of some L, and it is here because we suppose there is action of the Lie algebra on L. It is certainly a commutative algebra, it's fine. But when is it also infinitesimally commutative? So when does it satisfy this additional constraint? When is this thing equal to 0? One can put it in several ways. If I call this action a row, then it's the same as saying if it's if and only if I take row of D, so I get a symmetric tensor field on L. This is equal to 0, or maybe I should say a row tensor row, something like that. But it's also the same, it's if and only the stabilizers of this action are quasi-tropic. These are algebras. So this is kind of, from the point of view of deformation quantization, this is a starting point. So we start with a manifold, with action of G. But this action should satisfy some, these properties from the stabilizer should be big enough. Mm-hmm. They should be quasi-tropic. So in particular, if you take M, which is a homogeneous space, G mod H, where the V algebra of H happens to be quasi-tropic, then this is a fine example. And in the examples, actually, we're going to take just these kind of M's. Okay, so far it was more like engineering. And so I told you, here are some methods in which you can produce some associative algebras, and now it's up to us, up to you to try it out and see what kind of algebras we can see, which Poisson structures we can quantize in this sense. So now in this talk there's some kind of splitting point, so we can either go explore this, in general, what kind of manifolds we are able to quantize in this way, or we can concentrate on one particular case, which is quantization of Poisson groups or dually quantization of Lie algebras. So I'm not going to speak about quantization of Lie algebras, and then at the end of the talk, I'll say something about quantization of it's not any special flat connections, it's just some the generalization of Poissonian groups.
And this was the example of what? Of the...
This is an example of an infinitesimally commutative algebra in this row, which therefore is a commutative algebra in D. So this stuff, this algebra with the original product, we don't deform anything, is a commutative algebra in D, in this category, which is deformed by its oscillator. And then also, if you take several of these, that take the tensor products, something like that, or maybe do some slight modification. And finally, if you apply one of these functors, so we take H invariance or on the level of manifold, it means that we take M modulo H, we end up with an associative algebra which is no longer commutative, and which will be a deformation quantization of some particular Poisson structure somewhere. Okay, so now the talk begins. I'm going to speak about quantization of invariant algebras. This time, I will not want to get just an associative algebra or co-algebra, I want to get a Hopf algebra. So now the question is, how to get the Hopf algebra? And while this construction of associative algebra was kind of random, we get some of those, this construction, as we're going to see, is a universal way how to get Hopf algebras, and nothing but Hopf algebras. So it's a reasonable construction. But so let me first describe it, maybe just saying how to do it, and then I'll tell you why it works, where it comes from.
But what is the data for this Hopf algebra?
Yes, so... I just want to get the Hopf algebra. So let's invent data which we need. So we get it from this data. We start with a braided monoidal category. Then here we start with some nice object, which I'll call Q. This is just four reasons, but it fits better this problem of quantization of Lie by algebras. I'm not going to talk about co-algebras, but it doesn't really matter. I could call proportional algebras. This is going to be a co-commutative co-algebra. Co-commutative co-monoid in D. There would be something. Then we'll want another braided monoidal category C, and this is where we're going to construct the Hopf algebra. We're going to construct the Hopf algebra in a braided monoidal category C. And to do it, to get from this Q Hopf algebra, we need a functor this way. So this is a braided co-monoidal. Which has one nice property with respect to Q. This will somehow put it here that F, this way, F kills one Q. But what it means, I'll write some definition, then I'll write some more conceptual definition. But it's nice to see it concretely. The condition is that if you take any objects x and y and write x tensor q tensor y and fy f on that, what can we do? Q is a coalgebra, so we can apply the coproduct here. So we can go to f x q q y. And now this f is a commutative functor, so we can split it between those two. Y. The condition is that the composition, this composition is an isomorphism for any x and y. As I said, I'll give you some more scientific definition, but for the moment this is what works. And there is a one more side condition, which is that if you start with f just of q, then we can apply the, so far I suppress those things, so that's why I call this a cyclic condition, because we can apply also the coordinate on q, we can get to f of 1 of the identity object d, and then part of the fact that this is a commonality functor, which I also suppressed so far, is that there is now a morphism going from here to the unit of in C. And this composition should be an isomorphism. So let's suppose that we are in this situation. We'll see how to get these kind of examples. And also where it comes from, what it means, because it's, this way it's not very difficult, but it's a bit strange. And then I promise you to get a whole algebra. And also to get all Hopf algebras and nothing but Hopf algebras. So what is the Hopf algebra? Then A, which is F of Q, Q, that's in C, is a Hopf algebra. And in what way? First of all, Hopf algebra is something which is an algebra and a co-algebra and somehow compatible, and there should be some antipode. So why is this thing a co-algebra? This is something that I already told you. But Q is a co-algebra, therefore Q tensor Q is a co-algebra, and therefore F of Q tensor Q is a co-algebra. This is something that we already saw. This is, as I said, our only way how to get non-commutative into play. Not only working with co-algebras and algebras, but this is precisely the same. So I can redraw the picture. Probably something like this. This is a co-product that we have on Q tensor Q, and now we just apply F this thing on this thing. This is the map, the morphism going from here to there. And similar for the counit, where we just simply apply counit on both strands. What is more interesting is how to persuade it to be an algebra. And here we're going to use this stuff. So what we need? We need a map going from FQQ times FQQ to FQQ. Some product going this way. But you know already that this is isomorphic when x and y are equal to q. This stuff is isomorphic to F of QQQ. So it's enough to say to give you a map going this way. What is going to be this map, which already reveals a little bit what's behind this construction, for the time it's supposed to be mysterious, is that we keep this Q untouched, that Q untouched, but to the middle Q we apply the coordinate. So we take something like F, identity, tensor epsilon, tensor identity. If you want to see some kind of picture, the picture is that here is one Q, here is another Q, but that edge is supposed to somehow live on an edge which is between those two Qs. And if you have three Qs, which is somehow what's happening here, then we have those two edges which correspond to these two copies of H. But if we erase this middle Q, then we get a single edge going from this Q to this Q, and this was giving us the product. So somehow going from here to there, and then going from here to there, becomes something which goes directly from the beginning to the end, and this product.
So,
say, So before the break, let me know. Just tell you how to. So the idea that you already saw from those from the sequences and I mean from these pictures. Can put maybe in this way that we can if you have a group, say if G is a group, and from this we can actually replace the group with equivalent to its nerve. It's equivalent to corresponding simple set. It's equivalent to B G. Now who is BG? BG is EG until GE. Who is EG? EG is a simplicity set, so there's some kind of set of simplicities or something. Now for any, say for EFG is just G or N plus 1. So we have an element of G at each vertex of our simplex, and that's the set of our simplicities. For that, this G doesn't have to be a group, it's just it's not a set, it's a set. For any set we can define for any set G we can define EG. So it's something on the form of a triangle, G0, G1.
But the face
map. Yeah, the face map is just restricting to when face this face is just G0, G1.
No, if it's not a group, then it's so just forget
no, it. Just forget it. But now this, if G is a group, then it acts on itself, say, on the right or on the left. I will not say from which side, because I get it wrong. So it acts on both, from both sides. But let's take one of those actions and divide by the diagonal action of Nisa. What's happening after we divide all that we remember? Things of the form G0, 1, things which are now on the edges. So somehow G1, 2, and here would be G0, 2. How does it happen? Well, this thing would be something like G0 times minus 1. Times G1. So this combination is invariant under that thing. And they satisfy the relation that it is multiplicative. To get from here to there is the same as good times this G02 is equal to G01, G90, etc. So this is how we get from this classic universal bundle to the classifying space. And it encodes the structure of the group because as you can see here, we have the product already. By taking faces of a triangle associated, it can be then seen from the next level, from theta region. And let's now try to do this in a non-commutative world, because in the end, maybe it's not a precise statement, but one wants to see whole algebras as somehow groups in the non-commutative world. And we're going to take some kind of non-commutative nerve. So the idea is, you still it? Hopefully. The idea is, as I told you, if I say non-commutative version, the same stuff. As I told you, for EG, it's enough to have a set G. A set in non-commutative world will be, say, a co-commutative co-algebra for the moment. It makes sense, but somehow linearized set is a co-commutative co-algebra. Maybe non-commutative linearized set would be just a co-algebra, but let's stay with co-commutative co-algebra. So we start with a Q in D is a co-commutative co-algebra. And now this construction, so it's still E and Q, which is now Q tensor power n plus 1 still exists, and it is what is called the Cobar construction. it's basically the same thing. The place where you see the coproduct and Q are the degeneracy maps. That's when you want to double things. When you want, say, if you want to shrink an edge to a single point, then all of a sudden you would like to have G0 and G0 at two places. How you get it from G0? By applying the coproduct. So that's why you need a coproduct to have a thing which is set here. And you don't need a co-commutative algebra for that. But if it's co-commutative, then this is not just a simplicial object in C, it's a simplicial co-algebra. So,
EQ is a simplicial co-algebra.
Why is that? It's just the fact, or you can ask whether the coproduct is a morphism of coalgebras, or duality, let's say, whether the product is a morphism of algebras, or the product A tends to A going to A, or it's not in general, but it is if you can exchange things, meaning when it's co-commutative, when it's complete, or here co-commutative. So we constructed this analog of EG, it's a simple coalgebra, that's what you want to have a coalgebra, want to somehow have space or set or replacement. This is not yet a nerve because the nerve is EG mod G, so we have to need to have some replacement of mod G, and this is we just put it there by hand. We say that this place, this thing now becomes a functor. It becomes a functor going from. It becomes our functor F, braided commonoid of functor. And you see, which has some property. The right property is that this kills one Q, or as this G kills one G. It removes one G from this thing. That's what it should do. This is our F. And so what do we get? Now this implies that this F of EQ is a simplicial coalgebra. Now we see, for that it's enough to have a monoid of a commonoid of function, it doesn't have to be braided commonoid.
Sorry, but there it was not in C, right? It was in G. E dot.
This thing is in D.
Right.
This thing is in D, and now we want to make it into nerve of something. So we pass to a new category, which is F, it satisfies the right properties. Now we get simplest coalgebra. Now, I said this is just Q power n plus 1. The property that it kills one Q just means that this is the same thing as F, it's Q power n. We somehow pass into those edges. We just keep this thing and that thing. This is not necessary anymore. And since F was also braided, sorry, there are too many things, but let's just cut past it. Since F was also braided, it's not just isomorphism of objects, it's isomorphism of coalgebra. Simplest object in coalgebras in C, if you wish, which is of this form. But that simply means that if it's of this form, it simply means that it's the bar of some algebra. Not every simplicial something object is going to be bar of something, but it's just a question about the size. and this is the right size. So this implies. Now this nerve or what becomes your bar in other
measure. Construction of algebra
in the category where this is happening. What is the category? The category of co-algebras at C.
In the category
what is an algebra in the category of co-algebras. That's also another name, it's a bi-algebra. So we this way prove that this guy, who's generating a thing, is a bi-algebra in C. This doesn't show that it's a whole algebra. It doesn't show that what I showed you is grading is an antipode. But that's a direct calculation which is very simple. So let me look here. End of proof and end of explanation of why ever one would come up with this kind of construction. And let's make a break. Okay.
Any questions at this point? Okay, then let's have a 10-minute break.